Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Okay, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. There you go. That's where you're at, by the way. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. That's for all you people who don't like drums. Sorry, I just ruined the message, didn't I, for most of it. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We always say this, you know, check your pulse. Are you breathing? Praise the Lord. But tonight I want to focus on verse 3, the first part of that. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. That's the title of tonight's message, the sound of the trumpet. In the Bible, the trumpet is one of the main instruments that's used, and we find out all through Scripture. And the trumpet, we could go into very great detail of when the trumpet is used, what it's used for, but just by way of introduction, the trumpet was used, or the sounding of the trumpet, was used at the giving of the law, at the proclamation of the year of Jubilee, when the debts were set free, when the captives were set free, when you were free from all debt. That's when they sounded the trumpet. At the coronation of kings, they would sound the trumpet. At the raging of war, they would sound the trumpet. In fact, there were different types of sounds in military formations. For instance, when you were to be on alert, there was a sound of a trumpet. Whenever, actually, the trumpet was used as a weapon in Judges chapter 7. The sound of the trumpet was proclaimed in victory. The sound of the trumpet was played whenever there was a cease fighting. And whenever the enemy was approaching, they would use another sound of the trumpet. In fact, the sound of the trumpet was used when the children of Israel marched around Jericho and they sounded the trumpet. And what happened? The walls fell down, right? Amen. And so the walls didn't fall down because of the sound of the trumpet. They began to praise. Then the walls came down. And so we see it in military. Not only that, but it's also used in reference to the coming of the Lord. Because the Bible says that the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The trumpet in the Bible is also used as a way for God to speak to us. God's voice, Zechariah 9:14, says that God will sound a trumpet over us. Also in Revelation 1:10, John, when he saw his vision, he said, I heard a sound from behind me as the sound of a trumpet. And so it's the voice of God. The prophet Ezekiel was likened unto a scout that was blowing a trumpet when he was blowing the warning of the coming of God. And listen, we are to be a trumpet of praise. Not only is Psalm 150 telling us where we should praise, but it's telling us how we should praise. And he says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. What is this saying? Not only are we to, really, it was literal. It was to be using a trumpet, but also it was for us to tell us that our praise should be like the sound of a trumpet. Meaning this, we shouldn't be ashamed of our worship. We should let it flow as the sound of a trumpet. Also, we are to be a trumpet. Our praise should be decided, and our praise should be bold. And our praise should not be for our honor, but for God's glory. That's what he was trying to tell us. Not only do we praise where we praise, but what we praise him for, but how we praise. And our praise is to be like the sound of a trumpet. Now, we know that modern day trumpets are made from metal, and of course from different types of trumpets. Of course, the most expensive trumpets are made out of silver and different forms that way. But in the Bible, a trumpet was not a one we see like symphonies playing today. And many of you know this, but a trumpet was actually a shofar. And so if you, in the Bible, if you look up the word trumpet in the Hebrew, you'll find the word shofar. And so what really our pastor mentioned the shofar in passing weeks ago, and I just made a mental note of it. I wrote it down. And so I began to do some research because I've heard messages about the trumpet. I've heard messages about the end time and the blowing of the trumpet and praising like a trumpet. But I've never really studied or never really preached on how a shofar is made. And so if we are to be, and what David was trying to tell us here, if our praise is to be like a trumpet and we are to be like a trumpet, then I think we can find some similarities on this instrument and how it relates to us. Number one, I want you to notice that this is a ram's horn. And of course, that's elementary, but this is an actual ram's horn. And what I found to be very interesting is the rams and there's also a bush buck, they call it, which is a longer horn, almost like an antelope. Some kudu horns you'll find, but shofars are made from kosher animals. It can't be a bull horn. It has to be a ram's horn. The ram has to be at least 1 year old before they will harvest the horn. They'll actually cut it from the animal, or if an animal dies, they will harvest the horn as well. But what I found to be interesting is the horns that they used specifically today aren't native to Israel. In fact, they come in from other countries. And so I got to thinking about that, and that just reminded me, you know, I was a pilgrim and a stranger. I didn't belong to the house of Israel. But thank God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been made nigh and I've been made accepted into the beloved. And so this ram's horn that's not native to Israel was brought in to Israel, and the shofar maker begins to go through the process of making a shofar. And when he receives the shofar, it comes right from the head of the animal. It's in its natural form. It's in its natural state. It's not what I have here in front of me. It goes through a long process to make a beautiful instrument. Whew, I know where I'm going, so just hold on. First of all, I want you to notice there's a sorting process. There's truckloads of these horns that come in, and they have to be sorted. And what I found to be interesting is only about 30% of the horns that come in actually make it to become a shofar. You say, well, Brian, I thought salvation was for everybody. Oh, yes, it is. But the Bible says in the book of Matthew that everyone that calls me Lord, Lord shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I believe when man was born into this world, God ordained it, and it's his will that all of us turn into an instrument of praise for his glory. But sadly, we are not. And sadly, there's a small percentage out of the people that have lived on the face of the earth that'll actually make it to heaven and actually become an instrument of praise. And so they have to be sorted. And what they do is they try to find things that disqualify it from becoming a shofar. And one of those things that happen is if it's cracked, or if it's, in fact, some of the horns they say will even be rotted when they get there and they can't be used. And you say, well, Brian, that's an awful sad state to liken us under these ram's horns. But you have to understand, some of us, when we come into this, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be an instrument of praise. But listen, some of you, if you wait too long, if you wait too long, you'll not be able to be used at all. Because listen, there is coming a time when the Holy Spirit will not speak to you any longer. And when you can't continue to put off the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, you'll rot in your soul. And bless God, God may try to enter your heart and may try to speak to you, but the callous is built up around your heart and you won't be able to hear and discern the Spirit of God. My friend, it's important that when God says you can be used now, that you heed the call of the Holy Spirit. That sorting process gets down, and so they begin to see and begin to inspect these instruments and these shofars, these ram's horns, to see if they can be used. So we have the sorting process, and then secondly, we have the separation. The separation, see, when these horns come, they're filled on the inside with cartilage or with bone. And what's on the inside actually is a hindrance. A shofar can't become a shofar with the inside. The inside's got to be taken out. Woo, glory to God. And I want you to notice something. The shofar maker always removes the inside before he works on the outside. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. I say hallelujah, glory to God. So those of you trying to clean yourself up and trying to let God clean you up before you get saved, that's not how it works. No, there has to be a separation. And the only way it can be separated, listen to this now, listen to this. The only way the inside can be separated is you don't know how. I don't know how. In fact, it's secret to the shofar maker. And you say, well, Martin, what does that have to do with me? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I don't know how he can look on the inside and take away my sin. But bless God, all I know is he did it. And bless God, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he takes out and separates the inside. And I found this to be so amazing. Once they take out the inside and take out the cartilage and the bone, it still can't be used yet because it goes through another inspection. And so what they do is they go through and find if there's a crack or if there's a hole. And if there's a crack or a hole, it's discarded if it's too bad. But I want you to notice what I read. I said, surely they don't throw away all of them. Surely they can mend them. And see, it's, you cannot mend a shofar with foreign substances. What they do is, and this is all this, bless my heart, I got to read it verbatim because I'll get it wrong. I got to read it verbatim. They usually, if it's not being able to use it, if it's not kosher, if it's cracked or disqualified, they'll throw them away unless, except in certain cases, when the shofar maker is attached to it. And listen, and he's not prepared to give it up. I can't make this stuff up. When he's attached to the certain shofar and he's not prepared to give it up and throw it away, he takes the material from the same shofar and he'll mend the holes and he'll mend the cracks. Oh, aren't you thankful that he didn't throw you away? Because all of us, if we would look inside, we all have cracks. We all have holes. But bless God, he's attached to us. He loves us. He's not going to throw us away. He says, I can use that one right there. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, I got to move on. So we see the sorting and the separation, but the third, notice the sterilization. See, this is a living organism. I'll tell you, y'all better hop on. This is good stuff right here. This is a living organism. This horn, this is the same material that is made from your fingernails. The same material. Are your fingernails are living, aren't they? You cut them the wrong way, you'll find out if they're alive or not. This is a living organism. And even though it's cleaned out, it's still not usable yet. Because it's got bugs and it's got organisms and pests and little things that can live on the inside. Insects, worms, they can destroy because they feed on the inside of that shofar. And so the only way that it can be sterilized is they put it in an oven of fire. And they heat the fire. And what the fire does, it burns out all the impurities that don't need to be there. Hey, listen, some of y'all are skipping that step. You think, oh, as long as I'm clean out, then I can be used. No, you got to be baptized not only with the Holy Ghost, but you got to be baptized with the fire. Hallelujah, glory to God. And bless God, John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to unloose. I need baptized. Baptize you with water, but when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Aren't you thankful tonight? We've been sterilized by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:29 says that our God is a consuming fire. And if you want to be used of God, if you all want to be young people, if you want to be used of God, get baptized in the Holy Ghost of fire. Let God burn out the impurities in your life. Then you'll find out how you can be used. Preachers, you need the fire. Singers, you need the fire. Sunday school teachers, you need the fire. If you want to be used of God, you got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The sterilization. And here comes the toughest part of the whole process. I thought the sorting was bad enough and the separation, the sterilization, but here comes the toughest part, the straightening. Because see, when horns, you know, when you see this, this was a lot longer. Some horns are extremely long and they twist. And even though it's been cleaned out on the inside, they still don't make a good sound because they got to be straightened. Some of y'all, I wish I could straighten some of you all out. Because the sounds coming from you aren't that good. But if you just get straightened out, you'd be surprised at what God can do with you. And listen here, listen here. Tom Martin, you'll love this. You know the way they straighten these horns? Is they straighten them with the horn up. Oh, you didn't get that? They straighten them. They don't want the praise going down. They want the praise going up. So that way when it's placed to the mouth of the trumpet blower, the praise is always going up. That's what's wrong with some of y'all. Some of y'all are straightened this way and this way and this way. When your praise is going back to you. No, he says, I want it to go up to me. Straighten out. You say, well, Brian, how do they straighten it out? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. They put it back on the fire. If you need straightened out, and listen, we don't like to preach this. We love to shout, hallelujah, go to heaven kind of sermons. But listen, if you're going to get straightened out, the only way to do it is to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire and let the Holy Spirit straighten you out. We can try to do all we can and lead you to the fire. But if you want to be straightened out, if you want God to really use you, my friend, you need to come and hit the altar and say, Lord, burn out of me and straighten me with your fire. Amen. First Peter says, the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold, though it be tried by fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He says, when you're tried by fire, then you'll be found under praise and honor. Oh, the sorting, the separation, the sterilization, the straightening. But notice fifth, the sharpening. See, up until now, we've got a nice ram's horn, but there's no way for it, the sound to come out because there's no mouthpiece. See, the mouthpiece has to be sharpened. After it's straightened in there, see, this has been straightened right here. You can tell looking at it this way, it's been straightened. And there's been a hole drilled into this mouthpiece, and the mouthpiece has been sharpened. You say, what does that have to do with anything? See, that's the place where the one that blows the trumpet, where his mouth fits on there. And the only way to do it is that mouthpiece has to be formed to fit the trumpet blower. And so you say, Brian, who is our trumpet blower? Who gives us the praise to be able to give back to him? It's God Almighty. And he tries to sharpen the mouthpiece of our life so that he can fit. Sharpened. Sharpened. But finally, notice the sound. See, all this process, the sorting, the separation, the sterilization, cleaning it out, the fire, the sharpening, the straightening, it's all because he wants to get a sound out of the instrument. And what's that sound to be used for? Praise. Praise. And this is what I found interesting. Not two shofars will sound the same. I'll run that over one more time. No two shofars sound the same. When they're blown, some will give a loud screeching sound like this. That's wrong. Well, ma'am, I'll get it. Gotta wet the lip. Something like that. And there's long, I've blowed long kudu horns that give a low moaning sound. Some of them are even shorter. They're even more high pitched. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, I don't shout like Tim shouts, and I don't shout like Dad shouts. I shout like my Papaw James Ray, but not exactly like Papaw James Ray. So what I'm trying to tell you is, God has given you your own instrument. And after all the process is gone, even though we're all different, we're all should be used for the same purpose. And guess what? All of us, every one of us can be used as an instrument of praise. I don't care how you look. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. But hallelujah, you can be used by the Holy Spirit as an instrument of praise. Man, now hold on. The horn has been removed. I mean, the bone and the cartilage has been removed. It's been sharpened. It's ready to be used. But it could be set up here and it look pretty. It can be put on a desk and everybody goes by and says, oh, what is that? And really, to be honest, right now, it's a ram's horn. You said, well, that's a shofar. Not yet. That ain't a trumpet sitting right there. That's a ram's horn. The way it becomes a trumpet and the way it becomes a shofar is when it's filled with the breath of the shofar maker. This only becomes a trumpet when God breathes into you. Because this is just a shell. It's just a horn. Until God breathes on the inside. And when he breathes, the sound that comes out is a sound of praise. And listen, when he breathes into you and you give praise to him, I don't care what it sounds like, it's going to be in order and it's going to sound good. Because guess what? He lives inside the praises of his people. He lives there. And he'll take the sound and bring you to life. I'll close with this. Years ago, when we were just children, my dad, we had the privilege of visiting Disney World. And I know some of you, as soon as I say that, you're like, woo, let's go. And some of you are like, I'll never want to go there again in all my life. And so as a kid, it's just mesmerizing. And for those of you that have been there, It's some of you can take it or leave it, I know, but it's amazing what they can do. And so I've been able to watch some documentaries on how it all got started, how they made some of their things, and they were way ahead of their time with some of their animation, some of their rides and things like that. And that was all in the mind, what they call Imagineers. They imagined things and they made it happen from the mind of Walt Disney and from all of people that worked around him. But they came up with an idea. They wanted to make this little ride, or this little attraction rather, with live birds. And they said, no, we can't use live birds, because live birds will do what live birds do. And you can fill in the blank. So they came up with a way to make animated birds. And that's actually was an easier part, to make the birds move, because they kind of had that animatronic thing figured out. But how do they correlate the movement with sound? They came up with an ingenious way to use sound waves to cause the birds to move. And that engineering marvel is where all the other things are spun off of. So they use sound waves to make movements. So that way, when they make the sound, the birds would move and so forth and so on. And remember, you remember back years ago, they had Abraham Lincoln. They used that same technology to make Abraham Lincoln stand up and sit down. Everybody was scared because they thought Abraham Lincoln come back to life because it was so real. But what they did is they were able to harness sound waves to bring those characters to life. And to be very honest with you, some of you are sitting in your pew looking like that. You're just a horn. You're not being used. You say, Brian, what's missing? I'll tell you what's missing. The breath of the Almighty And when his breath fills you and begins to make sound, you'll begin to move all over the place. Because his sound brings us to life. So tonight, God wants us all to be instruments of praise. Say, Brian, I can't do nothing for God. Oh, yes, you can. You can be an instrument of praise. There's something for everybody to do. But you got to go through the process to get there. Some of y'all haven't even started. Some of y'all are on the other end, and you know what I'm talking about, and you're praising him because he brought you from somewhere dirty and dead and gave you life.